So let's go ahead and get that going on. Please turn in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians, the book of 1 Corinthians.
You still okay?
Yes, that's good. Thanks. And chapter 14. Chapter 14. 1 Corinthians 14, chapter 15. Today we're going to continue our class, our seminar on music. Does anyone remember what it's called? Any of the kids remember what the seminar is called? Let's see. Jonathan.
True worshipers.
Yes, true worshipers. And why is it called that? Any of the other kids, Joshua? Yeah, we need to be true worshipers. Does anyone know what does that mean, Brianna? There's two things required for somebody to be a true worshiper of the true God. Well, it's necessary that the true worshipers worship in truth, yes, and in spirit. So those are the two important things. All right. So on verse 12, let's read those few verses to get us started this morning. Even so, ye, for as much as ye are zealous of spiritual gifts, it's a good thing to be zealous of the spiritual gifts that are available to us today. I shall be unto him that speaketh a barbarian, and he that speaketh shall be a barbarian unto me. Even so ye, for as much as ye are zealous of spiritual gifts, seek ye that ye may excel to the edifying of the church. Wherefore let him that speaketh in an unknown tongue pray that he may interpret. So we see that even back then, when there were the gifts of tongues and prophesying, those gifts were important, that they should be for edification of the church. Wherefore, verse 14, for if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prayeth, but my understanding is unfruitful. During worship, we want our spirit to be edified directly, but at the same time, we want our understanding to be edified. And not just our understanding, but the understanding of those that hear. For if I pray, verse 16, else when thou bless with the spirit, how shall he that occupieth the room of the unlearned say amen at the giving of thanks, seeing he understandeth now not what thou sayest? Verse 15, what is it then? I will pray with that spirit, and I will pray with the understanding also. I will sing with the spirit, and I will sing with the understanding also. And let's open with a word of prayer today. Father, we thank you for this time. Thank you for the work that was done yesterday, for the encouragement that it was to see everyone to put their hands to work and do their part, Lord, in the taking care of this, your place. We pray that every time we'll be reminded of the importance of keep this building that belongs to you in good shape, that every one of us would have in their minds of the importance of the pews, the auditorium, the fellowship hall, the yard, and everything, that we would be willing and ready to take care of it, Lord, because it belongs to you. Now we pray, Lord, that you take care of this time, that you would anoint my lips. I pray that you would anoint the ears of the hearer today. May this time be profitable in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so go ahead and show the first slide, Missy, please. We're going to do a really, really fast review. We have quite a bit to cover today, so let's get started. Spiritual worship is truthful worship. Okay, that's where everything needs to arise from. We start with the truth, and then we go on for the other things, okay? What is it then? I'll pray with the Spirit. I'll pray with the understanding also. And the kids' song should also emphasize the truth, okay? Go ahead. If there's no understanding of what we're singing, there's going to be no fruit, okay? We'll spend 30 minutes of our time just saying things and making beautiful music, hopefully. But our understanding and our spirit will go without edification, okay? And there will be no giving of thanks. Okay, next slide. And we also saw that the main problem with CCM music or contemporary Christian music is not that it's contemporary, okay? There's contemporary songs written today that are good, okay? And the reason that contemporary Christian music is not okay is because they claim that music is immoral, okay? Or that there has no moral quality or therefore no moral responsibility in employing music. Her priests have violated my law. What is it that the priests did? And how did they profane the things? Because they put no difference between the holy and the profane. And that's something we should keep in mind. Anything we use in worship should be sanctified, should be different. Okay? There's unclean things that have no place in church, and there's things that are clean that we have no business using for secular means. All right, next slide, please. This is a quote from Brother Cloud. We read it last time. Contemporary Christian music is founded. This is the foundation for it. Upon an unscriptural premise that music is neutral or immoral, and that any music can be used to glorify the Lord. So this is the false belief, the false foundation of contemporary Christian music, that any music goes because there's nothing good or bad about music in itself. And we know that music is not an inanimate object. It is indeed something that can have moral quality. And therefore, whoever uses music is responsible morally for its use. Next slide. There's the three objections. Go ahead and show them. Hymn writers use secular music. That is correct. However, they never use anything but the best of the best music known to them. And even then, most of their compositions were original authorship. And sometimes, even when they used secular music, it was nothing but the best of the best. Music is not bad or good in itself, and we already talked about that. Next slide. There is moral and immoral sound. So we're going to get started here. There is a way you express something largely determines what it means. Okay, we're not going to do this, but if I had three boys here, and I had them all say this phrase here in different ways, why didn't you call me? We could use that in different ways. For example, if I say, oh, why didn't you call me? You are saying, you know, that you wish somebody would talk to you, right? But if you say, why didn't you call me? I'm saying the same words, but the way I'm saying it is also communicating something, okay? So it's impossible to think that no matter the music that we're using, if the words are good, it's okay. Words are important, but also the means with which we communicate it are important, namely the music. Why didn't you call me? Why didn't you call me? So in the same way, music in itself communicates and therefore has moral responsibility. Next slide. I'm going to mention three things, and I'm going to explain a little bit why I'm saying this right here. There's three things that we need to understand. Don't ever sacrifice truth in the name of tolerance. That is very important, not just in the area of music, but in any area in the Christian life. Look, people today are talking a lot about this word, tolerance. Now, there's ways in which Christians should be tolerant, like the Apostle Paul, who didn't do certain things that he was free to do after his conversion because of those of weaker will and also those who didn't believe in Jesus, okay? The weaker brother. Now, he wasn't talking about going as far as he possibly could into the world, into bad things, so that he could save somebody. But he was talking about, now listen to this, how much can he limit himself from his freedoms to reach those who don't believe and to gain his weaker brother or to not offend him. So this is the difference right here, guys. We don't try to approach and look more and more like the world to win them. But we are supposed to limit ourselves and our freedoms to win them. Okay? That is what Apostle Paul was talking about. In other words, we don't try to look more and more like the world. I'm going to try not to fall here. In order to win them, but we limit ourselves in our liberties in order to win them. In other words, for example, if you go to China, you're not going to compromise on what you know is true to win Chinese. But if you just can't get across the message to the Chinese, then you get rid of your American clothes and put on some Chinese garments, if that's going to open the door. Why? Because my American clothes, my suit and tie, are not essential, are not doctrine, are not part of the gospel. Okay, I could preach in a lot of different kinds of outfits without breaking laws of modesty and God's laws for being well dressed. However, I could limit myself in what I'm doing on a daily basis in order to reach them. Now, that is a good kind of tolerance. There's a kind of tolerance that is being talked about lately. That is not the right kind of tolerance. It's what happens is they sacrifice the truth in order to be tolerant. Also, we don't ever sacrifice truth in the name of civil rights. That's got to be obvious. Don't ever sacrifice truth in the name of civil rights. Or here I was going to write in the name of human rights. Or you can put anything else there. For example, let's just say it, Planned Parenthood. In the name of human rights, you notice that they have destroyed somebody else's human rights?
Amen.
So you don't sacrifice truth. What is truth? Well, that every human is made in what? And therefore, has a right to live. However the way they've been conceived, they have a right to live, not because we are Americans, but because we are humans, made in the image of God. So that is the truth. We cannot sacrifice that truth in order to give somebody human rights. Does that make sense?
Amen.
Now, let's go to the next slide. Well, we already saw that. For many people, Planned Parenthood is a badge of tolerance and morality. For many people, compromising truth is their badge of tolerance. People are very proud of their choice, liberty, And that's their claim to being a moral society. And, you know, what can be farther from the truth? Okay, next slide. Okay, the reason I said all that, because this is the way a lot of people understand rock. And in fact, the majority, this is mainstream definition, okay? Beyond simply a musical style, rock and roll, as seen in movies, in fan magazines, and on television, influence lifestyles, fashion, attitudes, and language. Now listen to this. In addition, rock and roll may have contributed to the civil rights movement because both African American and white American teenagers enjoy the music. Now listen to this. For many people, rock music is their way to be tolerant and inclusive. Does that make sense? So in other words, their badge of being tolerant, of morality, is rock music, because back then, when the civil rights movement was going on, black teenagers and white teenagers both enjoyed that music, and was one of the means that they could have something in common. However, everybody back then also understood that rock music had no place in church. Churches could see that something is wrong with rock music, and music was rock music was very soft back then. Started with a little, very mild backbeat that was not even caused by a drum. Started with instruments like a saxophone and pianos. That was their backbeat. So don't think that backbeat can only be produced by drums. Okay, I know that that's the most distinguishable thing, but with playing the piano in a certain way also produces a backbeat and brings us back to the origins of rock music. Okay? All right, so let's go to the next slide. Just to refresh what we believe here in Beaver Falls Church about music, right? This is our doctrinal statement, okay? Help me read it. If you can read, help me read. Let's read it together. We believe music, not the lyrics, is not immoral, and that it is intended to praise God and admonish and strengthen believers. We reject all forms of rock music, whether it is secular or Christian, as sensual and blasphemous, and dangerous to health, emotional stability, and spiritual life. Contemporary Christian music, Christian rock, is never to be used in any church service or function. Hymns of praise and adoration to the Lord and of encouragement to believers are the only means to be used in the church. All special music is to be approved beforehand by the pastor or music director. Now, after that, we have three statements. The first two are reference to singing spiritual songs. And the third one is very interesting. Let's all turn there. Hebrews 13. Hebrews 13, the verse is 17. Now, here is... Wait for a few minutes, a few seconds. Obey them that have the rule over you, and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls, as they that might give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. So that verse is referring to this last phrase. All special music is to be approved beforehand by the pastor or music director. Let me tell you something else, guys. If you ever have a question about whether this or that kind of music that you're not planning on doing a special for with it, but something that you listen at home, it would be okay, and you would be doing well to bring it to pastor and ask him, what do you think about this song?
Okay? So if you have any questions about whether or not this music glorifies God, whether or not this music is acceptable, whether it's looking like the world, go ahead and bring the CD or whatever and ask them. That is okay. Now, the reason I am saying all this is because at church, the music is not selected by the most musical person. It's different here. Maybe in the world, if you have the best musician, he should select the songs for your band or whatever. But here at church, we want the most spiritual person, which we've all decided that is our pastor, which is teaching here, to decide what music we should use at church. So it's not just about the words, but it's also about the music. And it's not just about musicianship, but it's about spirituality. So here's what I'm saying. I'm saying that spiritually minded people will tend to listen to spiritually minded music. Okay? Carnal minded people will tend to listen to carnal minded music. So when we want to figure out what is the music that we're supposed to be listening to, we don't go to the best musician. We go to the most spiritual person. And listen to this. Even when that person does not have a degree in music, like I don't, if he's spiritual, he will at least be able to tell you, I don't know why, and I can't explain to you why, but that music is not okay, and it's not fitting for a Christian. And maybe he'll go and think about it, and maybe he'll come up with a reason why. But guess what? By then, you know that you're not supposed to be listening to that. Because we want to listen to spiritual things. Next slide, please. We want the godliest people in our church making those calls whether a certain song is good, the pastor. Music decisions are the responsibility of the person in authority. Something like that. Oh, the pastor. You know what I mean. Church leadership should have very clear what God-pleasing music is. Okay, already talked about that. Next slide. There are decisions that can be delegated to other church members, okay? But we want the pastor to be making the calls on church music. What I mean by that is there are decisions like the food schedule, like the cleaning schedule. Those decisions can be delegated. But church music, because it's part of worship, is in the same bracket of importance as teaching and as teachers. In other words, teachers are very, very important, you know? And whoever is teaching the Bible and has a big responsibility, and the pastor has a big responsibility to choosing those people. Now, cleaning the church, even when it is important, mowing the yard, even when it is important, is different. Because music is just as important, and it will have just as big a spiritual impact in our lives and in our worship that is that in that bracket of importance. And I know you guys know a lot of this, but this is the seminar that I would give to anybody, okay? Even if I didn't know anything about a church. That's how important pastors need to see their music in their church. That's what I said in Guatemala, that's what I said in Mexico, and that's what I said anywhere else. Pastor is not the responsibility of somebody else, of your music directors, your responsibility because you are the spiritual person.
Okay.
Next slide, please. Music doesn't belong to... Okay. Bracket of cleaning schedules, meal selection, or landscaping design. Music belongs the same bracket of importance as who is going to teach at church. What's going to be taught at church? Music belongs in the holy things. It's part of worship. Okay, next slide, please. Okay, what else is wrong with CCM music? There's this guy. He wrote a few books on music. Very, very good. Very, very just informative. When the standard of music is lowered, we're talking about why. What else is wrong with CCM? When the standard of music is lower, then the standard of dress is also lowered. So this is the open door only. I mean, it's bad enough, but that's just the beginning of sorrows, okay? When the standard of dress is lower, then the standard of conduct is also lower. When the standard of conduct is also lower, then the sense of value in God's truth is lower. See, we begin and end with the truth. We want important lyrics in our songs, but if we neglect the good music, then it also eventually affects the truth. Guys, good music is important because when we lower that standard, there's dangers in every other aspect. It's kind of, a psychological thing or something that we all accept that music is not that crucial. It's not as important. Don't make a big deal of it. Okay, next slide, please. Dr. Frank Garrell, you've heard of him. If a church starts using CCM, it will eventually lose all other standards. So people agree on this. By the way, some of the Majesty music out there is not the best anymore. It started with a couple good songs. What is amazing to me is that they are saying this, and he's not the only one. But there's people very, very strong in their standards, high standards in music. And they say stuff like this: if a church is using CCM, it will eventually lose all other standards. And then it happens to them, kind of a thing. So we need to be careful. I mean, if they, went astray in many areas, and I don't need to tell you all the examples, but, if they can't do that, certainly we are in danger of doing it ourselves if we don't hold firm to our standards. Okay? Okay, next slide. Another guy. Perhaps nothing precipitates a slide toward new evangelicalism more than the introduction of contemporary Christian music. This inevitably leads to a gradual slide in other areas as well, until the entire church is infiltrated by ideas and programs alien to the original position of the church. So again, it's just the beginning. Okay, next slide. And this is a very interesting quote. Next slide, please. Victor Sears also says that contemporary Christian music is like the Trojan horse. How many of you understand the concept of a Trojan horse? The story of it. Well, so Trojan horse is something to deceive you, okay? Computers now have Trojan horses as viruses. And they're so deadly and devastating to a computer because they look like a regular program or software. And they get installed in your computer. And once they're in, they infect and delete files and all that. Now, CCM is the Trojan horse of evangelicalism today. Because it looks okay. It looks friendly. It looks fun. It looks inoffensive. But it isn't. It can look beautiful. It can look appealing.
And you might be deceived that it feels good. Many of it feels good. Thankfully, we're not here to do what feels good or sounds good, but we are here to do what pleases God. He is the ultimate standard of what's beautiful and good. Okay, next slide. Okay, so we come here to an interesting question, right? And I'm going to finish with this. What is good music? Have you asked yourself that? Let me just a second here. What is good music? There's a few things that I want you to understand before I say something. You know, I've been debating a lot and kind of thinking things. And try to... what did I tell you guys? You know, I tried different things. I listen to music all the time. And I try to listen to the best music I can. And I know it's good for my soul, for my spirit, for my family, for my body and health even. Like you just read in the doctrine statement. And then I want to talk to you about what not to listen to. And I try to listen to bad examples. Now, you know, after a while, I realized two things. One is there's really, really bad examples that I could show you. And you can find those in other seminars. And you're welcome to do it. But the thing is that you guys all kind of know what's bad, right? What's really bad. And none of us are going to go and listen to what's so-called rock, Christian rock, right? We're just not going to do that. Now, there's some music that is borderline contemporary, borderline rock. However, the performer are good Christians. Right? So we have on one hot hand, I don't want to bring and show you bad music that you might not even know of. I try to tell you, this is bad, this is bad, this is bad. Because it's pointless because you already know that. And on the other hand, there's sincere Christian performers, vocal or instrumental, that then need to improve their music. However, my goal in life is not to change them or to bash them. Okay? I hope you understand this because many of the songs that we shouldn't be listening to, those guys are not my enemy. Okay? And I'm trying hard not to say any names here, and I won't. Because that's not my goal. But what I can do is show you some good music. Now, when I say good music, I need you to understand something that I think is very important for us to understand. And that somehow slipped through the cracks on all the music seminars that I ever heard. And I think it's good for us to know. And that is the fact that there is no perfect music on this side of eternity. Now, you know, we can talk a lot, and I can show you all the music and that, you know, a lot of the best music I can think of and everything. But even then, in the performance, in the choice of instrument, in the setting,
and also in the spiritual condition of the performer is going to be lacking in one way or another. So none of the music I can show you is going to be perfect. So what else does that mean? It also means, now listen to this, because this is my point for today's session, that the Christian, the sincere Christian, and the true worshiper of God is on a continuous quest for improving his music and his music choice. You get that? In other words, fundamental churches, fundamental Christians need to reconsider today all their CDs, all their music, and ask themselves, Lord, is there anything that you don't want me to be listening to? Or, Lord, can I do better? Or, Lord, I love these songs or this artist. Does that please you? What else does that mean? That means that none of us are or have arrived musically. Okay? In our music choice. So what is good music? I'm going to show you here a few examples of good music with that definition of good music. Okay? Probably the best music produced by the best musicians and the best composers. I'm not talking about lately, I'm talking about ever. But even then, you should ask yourselves, along with all the other music, what is pleasing to the Lord? Okay? First I'm going to show you a few secular songs. Then I'm going to show you a few sacred songs. And then we're going to wrap it up and call it good. Okay? First I want to show you an example of secular songs. This is Bach. Okay? Bach was a Christian. He was an excellent people consider him the best of the epitome of greatness in composing music. Okay, so if you think on about ancient composers, Mozart, Handel, Haydn, and all that, you can think of Bach as the cream and crop of them all. Okay. So he, in one of his cantatas, he composed a lot. But one of his cantatas, let me see if this is going to work. Maybe I'm going to let you guys down. This is called Sleepers Awake. Highly recommend that music by Bach. Okay, this is also by Bach. It's called "Sheep May Safely Graze." Hopefully in the next sessions we're going to get down to the ins and outs of why and why not. But I just wanted you to get a taste of just the best. This is not only the best composer, Bach, but it's also one of his best works, but also is one of the best orchestras in his time. Because
There's a lot of orchestras, you know, like Royal Philharmonic Orchestra and the London Symphony and all those. But these guys go out of their way to make instruments of that time. So what you're hearing right now is the closest thing to the sound of Bach's time. It's called the Academy of St. Martin in the Fields. And there, like them, there's a lot of them. So they're academies of ancient music. So they're dedicated to that. If they cannot find an instrument that sounds like it used to sound in Bach's time, they'll make one. So that's the dedication they have to that music. These are not newbies. There's some other work by Bach. Also, is a more happy tuned trumpet concerto. Trumpet concertos by Bach. And then here's Haydn's concerto, also trumpet concerto by Haydn. Also very, very happy and upbeat. You know, there's a lot of variety even in good music. So we have a lot of freedom and things available to us. We just went through a lot of music that and a lot of range of music that we can listen to, and we haven't even gotten to the sacred. I'll play a song now that you'll remember, I think I can find it. Well, this is a group called Canadian Brass. Before I go into the sacred, but these guys are playing a concerto by Vivaldi. It's meant to be for strings, but they're playing it in their brass instruments. They're called Canadian Brass. And that's not the one I want to show you, but anyway, that'll do. There's that, for example. You probably remember that. So, there's a lot to choose from, guys, and we're going to go into some of those good examples. But I wanted you to understand that on this side of eternity, we are constantly improving. You ask me what good music is. What is good music in church? And I tell you, well, it's the most spiritual music. How do we know? The spirit is not something we can see or touch or manipulate. How do we do a spiritual music as true worshipers? What is good music? I'll tell you what good music is. Good music is next time we sing. The music is next time you and I are right with God. Next time you and I choose the best of the best of the hymns.
is next time you and I practice good music, is God pleasing music. And God pleasing music is when you and I are constantly seeking to do what God wants and improving. So let me wrap it up by saying this. Reconsider what you're listening to. The thing is that I cannot know what you have at home. So playing a bunch of bad examples won't do any good, because it might be completely foreign to you, and we wouldn't nail down what needs to be dealt with. But the answer of bettering our music is this answer to everything else in the Christian life. Being more spiritually minded. Hey, if you need some advice or something, we have our pastor. He claims that he doesn't understand music, but I think he understands more than he lets know. But hey, guess what? He can tell us. And if he doesn't know something, he'll probably ask Brother Jared. He's going to know. But hey, we have resources available to us that we can just go and ask them. Is there anything I can do better? I think that's a good place to start. Do I have any more slides?
Okay, that's it. That's for another session. Let's close in a word of prayer, all right? Father, we thank you for the opportunity to explain these principles. We thank you, Lord, for everyone that has listened with attentive ears. And we want to be pleasing to you. We want to be more pleasing to you than yesterday. Help us to find what pleases you. Help us to be always bettering, always pursuing what's best, and not settle for the good. We thank you, Lord, for your great love. Help us, Lord. We want to please you. And whoever wants to please you, you will help and give them discernment. Ask of me. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.